Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is April 8th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up this week with our scripture reading. Last week, we were reading in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. So we'll be picking up on chapter 11. Gospel of John, chapter 11, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him.
All right, I'd like to remind everyone concerning our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. By the way, am I coming through okay?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to remind everybody about our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. It's extremely important that we have educated sheriffs, and presently, as most people know, we don't. We ourselves, generally speaking, have not been educated. Those of us now that are waking up to this situation and realization that the only way we can have government by consent is to be educated, and our sheriffs need to be educated in the common law and their proper powers and authorities. Anyway, underneath the sheriff tab, you'll see a tab that says Join Our Campaign for Constitutional Sheriffs. And everyone might want to click on this and get some information and see about buying your sheriff the book, Government by Consent. Tonight we're going to talk about our sheriffs and how we go about connecting with our sheriffs. We have a plan. That plan actually is written up in a handbook, how to start a county committee of safety. And how to organize a county committee of safety. That handbook is found under Start a Committee of Safety, coming down to handbooks, videos, and tools. And you can find that handbook right here, County Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook. Okay, and it's 66 pages. We're going to go through some of this stuff a little bit today anyway. We also have the committee man handbook. You know, Committee of Safety is the original committee man before they statutorized the committee man, and then they were, of course, taken over by party bosses and controlled and broken up into parties, and it's just the right against the left, whether and at some point your decision is to vote for the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. Every once in a while we do get a decent person, but that's becoming rarer and rarer. But in any event, there is a process that the committee men have on how to go about, bringing and putting onto the ballots necessary individuals. We want to look for statesmen. We want to get rid of the politics in the political process and get right down to the work of what they have to be doing, and that is to be obedient to the Constitution. We've given them our marching orders. We've been very specific on what their powers and authorities are, and that they abuse those powers and those authorities. And I would venture to say maybe, 90-95% of what they do is unlawful. It's not in the Constitution. We never gave them the authority to do many of the things they've done. And because of our ignorance, we've lost our political process. We have no choice on who we try to make to represent us, whatever level it is that it's at. They've robbed that from us. And we've lost our judicial process. There is no justice in our courts. The Constitution has been done away with. It doesn't exist in the courts. People may think it does, but the Bill of Rights is a dead paper. It's not there anymore. They don't obey it. They don't recognize it. Due process is not available unless they want to give you due process. They'll only allow you to have due process as long as it's not going up against them or the status quo, large corporations, et cetera, et cetera. But only the people can save America, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. We're going to talk about that and how to connect with our sheriffs, how to take back our local government, how to take back our school districts and bring them back under the control of the people. We first have to remember what Jefferson said. And he said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So we must get educated. And that's why National Liberty Alliance has all these different courses. We have plenty of courses that people can get educated by. Right underneath our Educational Starts Here tab, you got the Court Access and the Common Law course for those people who want to know how to get through the court process and apply the common law in the courts. It is definitely an uphill battle. Occasionally you can get a win, and eventually we will get lots of wins. We have a foundation study. We have Constitutional Course 101, Introduction to the Constitution. We have a civics course, Government by Consent course, a militia course, and we have a jury administrator's accredited course. And maybe in the next coming weeks we'll talk in more detail about the jury administrators that we need in every county. And that, of course, is a paid position for administrators and one paralegal, and that paralegal would be administrator also. So five administrators in every county. Some counties may have more. In New York City, for instance, there's five counties down in New York City, and they're pretty large, and there would be quite a few more in that kind of an area. But generally speaking, most counties would only require five. Okay, let's see. So again, everybody needs to really think about educating their sheriff. And again, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Jen, do we have any questions tonight or any announcements?
Yes, we have quite a few tonight. You ready?
Yep. By the way, okay. So hang on one second. Am I echoing through anything, repeating when Jan's talking? Because if I leave my mic open, because I got an open mic going. Is okay. Eric or Terry?
I don't hear any echoing yet.
Okay, if you do, let me know, and I'll click the mic as we go. But go ahead, Jan.
The first question is on traffic tickets. According to Carl Miller, who I respect greatly, traffic tickets are unlawful. They violate Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution, which says no bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. A traffic ticket is a denial of due process rights under 18 U.S.C. Title 5, Section 556D. If due process rights are denied, jurisdiction ceases. Comments, please.
Yeah, well, last week we did do a program and focus on traffic tickets, dealing with the town, the village, traffic, and administrative courts. So one might want to go there. You can find last week's video under today's issues. Come down to NLA Monday Open Forum videos. You can also find them under other tab, which would be the Monday Call tab, and there's a link there also to get to this page. But anyway, I would suggest strongly to go through this and see what we put together and how to deal with traffic courts. The interesting things about traffic courts, town courts, city courts, village courts, or the smaller cities anyway, not necessarily the bigger cities, but again, the villages, particularly the towns. Some cities will have traffic courts separate. They may not have, they won't deal with the traffic court normally in the city.
This was last week and heard the response and apparently did not see it addressed as to the sections of the Constitution and so on, and is it unconstitutional? That was the question.
Yeah, I was going to, what was that again? Say it again.
Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah, go ahead. Read it again. Make sure I understand.
Yeah. According to Carl Miller, who I greatly respect, traffic tickets are unlawful. They violate Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. A traffic ticket is a denial of due process rights, and under 18 U.S.C. Title 5, Section 556D, if due process rights are denied, jurisdiction ceases, so they should have no jurisdiction over you.
Well, that's correct, and we agree with that, and we did discuss all that last week. And so if anybody wants to go back and listen to that, they can get it at this page that it was showing. And the key focus, of course, is the Seventh Amendment, and it is a denial of due process. But it's the Seventh Amendment, our right to a common law court, and, of course, the Due Process Clause. So we do agree with that point. Now, in those in those particular courts, those the village courts or even traffic courts and so on and so forth, they're very, very ignorant. Most of those judges, they have no background in law whatsoever. So they don't even know the equity. They don't even know the civil law that was created by the United States Supreme Court back in 1938. And actually, it was the Bar Association that did that, and they're the ones that wrote the law, and the United States Supreme Court kind of put their signature on it, in a sense, by bringing forth the rules, and it was Rule 2 that abrogated the common law in our courts. Now, on the lower courts, these people don't understand that we've lost our Constitution, but they also don't understand the civil law that they've been under, or the different codes, particularly in the case of traffic court. They don't understand the difference between that and the common law. They don't understand the rights of the people. You have a pretty good chance of winning in these courts.
I am, of course, the creator of islandproject.com, the digital Noah's Ark. We will be covering
with the open mic.
I don't hear you anymore, John.
All right, I guess I muted myself somehow.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, these judges in the lower courts, they don't seem to understand anything. And they go to a judge school. I think it's a week or 2 weeks long. I'm not sure exactly how long that is, but it's really, they don't have to really learn much, because really they're only teaching them the traffic violations and the codes, and it's all about following the papers. But sometimes, of course, they get cases in there, and they actually put people in jail. And what the people need to understand is that they don't have the power or the authority to put people in jail. Town courts, village courts, and especially traffic courts, most city courts, they just, they're what's called nisi prius courts. Nisi prius means unless first, which means you have to first agree before they can convict you and put you in jail or give you a fine. And that's why they go through all kinds, and they're taught very well in the schools that they must get the person that comes before them to agree. And they have no clue on how to deal with that when people object and people deny and people refuse. Sometimes the judge will put a plea in for them, and if a person understands that that's against the law, it's not lawful, you know, the judge doesn't represent you, and you make that point, you know, again, it frustrates them. And what we've seen over the years is people come back over and over and over and over every month to keep getting, because they don't know what to do with you. And it's just resistance. But anyway, we do have a plan on how to go into the court. Well, actually try not to go into the courts at all. You respond by paper, and hopefully you don't have to go in. But if you have to go in, you go in once. And then if you want, you know, you can bring a suit against that court for denial of due process and bring that up into the federal court. And there is a chance you could win on that, of course. I've never done that yet, but of course there is a process. It's simple. And the purpose of the Supreme Court is to champion the Constitution. So if you have a constitutional, denial of the Constitution, one of your unalienable rights protected by the Constitution, then of course, you should be able to get that through the courts. When you go into federal court, by the way, they don't really hear the case, so they shouldn't know what the case is really all about. The only thing that they're hearing is the denial of due process, and that's what they have to make a decision on. So it does make it a little simpler and an easier possibility of winning. But anyway, we do have a lot of information on that. And again, last week's Monday night program in this video, and you can also get this in audio if you don't want to watch the video. I do know last week we had a problem with sharing the paper. The papers that we shared was a downloaded paper, and I guess it doesn't show up when I download it off of and open it up off of the browser. So this week when we share some paperwork, well, I'll share it off of my computer, but I will show you where we might have some of that paperwork. All right, well, I guess that's about it. Again, there was a lot of information we gave last week, and again, we do agree with Carl Miller. We're very familiar with him. But the courts are much harder. When Carl Miller was teaching this stuff, it's got to be over 20 years ago, I'd imagine, or about 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, you had a better chance of winning in the courts. They were a little more timid. But today, extremely bold. They're rats caught in the corner, and they're very, very bold. They don't care that they are committing treason on the record. They just don't seem to care. Or maybe they're really that stupid. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure they just don't care, at least on the federal level. All right, any next question, Jan?
Okay, this goes back to the Pennsylvania tax that appears yearly, I think it is, for people that has no justification and so on. It says, we have tried to reach out to many different entities via postal mail and have not received any responses, and it's been weeks. We cannot rely on telephone because they are deferred to a department or office that does not want to answer, or an operator's menu that affords no options to address a matter at hand. I truly believe that the phone method is a strategic means of evading the constituents. What forms or processes does NLA have and suggest to force correspondence from public services, servants?
Read the last sentence.
What forms or processes or means or whatever does NLA have and suggest to force correspondence from public servants? In other words, they just can't get any information about it from these people, get no response, period.
Well, you could do a notice and demand. Not that they'll obey that, but it's the beginning of a legal process. And generally speaking, you can also do, depending on how you go about it, you know, you do a quo vanto. We're going to talk a little bit about a quo vanto tonight. But a notice in demand is the beginning. And again, a quo vanto is a possibility, but it depends on how you work it. And you'll want to have that served by a sheriff if you're going to do a quo vanto. And you're also going to want to do it with a group in order to, you know, require them to answer. And that's what the Committee of Safety is all about, the power and the authority of the people, working with their sheriff to take back control of local government and their local school districts. But again, generally, you know, look, silence is a crime when they have a duty to speak. It's a fraud. The United States Supreme Court has made that ruling on a couple of occasions. It begins with fraud when they don't answer, and they don't answer. The people don't know what to do because they're ignorant to the process. Now, what process do we offer to share? You know, you can go up underneath our educational tab on a blue bar, and you can come down to court access and the common law, and you can click on that tab, and that'll get you into a common law court class. It's a 90-hour course. And you can learn, you know, due process, the procedure of the courts, the paperwork, what papers are required to file a case, you know, the requirement also of an affidavit which rules the court, and numerous other things, and different forms as you go about moving the court along. But this is all done from the perspective of the common law. Now, remember, we still use their codes. We can use their codes and regulations because it's written for them. It's not written for us, but it's written for them. So we can apply those against them and pressure them by using their rules, their law, you know, whatever it is, whether it's rule or codes or regulations. So you could take control of a court that way. But again, you know, it becomes a legal process to force these people to obey. And again, what we're going to discuss a little bit tonight, and hopefully we'll get into some conversation about that. Hopefully people have some questions or things to add to some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. You know, then we'll have a better appreciation on how to go about dealing with this, because the people have to come together. One person, you know, it should be where one person should be able to walk in the court and bring and require justice. And lay out a case, and if you have a just case, to win that case. It should be that way, but it's not. But that's why it requires the people on the county level, on the grassroots level, to start this process, to take this system back, and to have government by consent. And that's the foundation of our law, by the way. It's a Declaration of Independence. And in the Declaration of Independence, the foundation of our law says that we the people have government by consent. They're supposed to be obedient. We have the power and the authority to take government down. We have the power and authority to remove people. People just don't know how to do that. And we can shut a city down. A quo vanto can take out a city, can take out a town, if people understand the process, the procedure, the common law, and the power of the people. You know, we are sovereign. The sovereign makes the law. We the people make the law. We declare the law. We correct the law. We deny the law when it's unjust. It's we the people ordained and established the Constitution for the United States of America. We are the lawmakers. It is the people that they have to come to get an indictment on someone, and we either agree or disagree. We are the law. We're the jury. We sit in the jury box and we listen to what's going on. If they bring certain laws up, if the law applies to the individual there, in the sense of maybe if it is a case where someone operating under commercial activities or working for a government agency, and the different regulations and codes and statutes apply to that individual, and we the people can deny that. We have the power to nullify any law that they bring up. You know, there are other things. Even in common law, there are certain things, certain extenuating circumstances that might deny what law might really be applied. You know, we have to look with a sense of justice honor and with mercy when we look at these cases from the perspective of the jury. We need to respond when they call you up or anybody up to sit on a grand jury, sit on a trial jury. And you should have the knowledge to bring it in, to share it with the other people, and really get justice in that court. You know, we had the Bundy situation a couple of years back, where they were in court, and they got some good successes there. Even though everything was against them, they had stacked juries, they had people on the jury that were working for the government, they had a crooked judge, they had, matter of fact, they even tased one of the lawyers when a lawyer objected at the end of a case because they wanted to, you know, when they were found innocent, they wanted to hold on to them to see if another state wanted them. I forget exactly what the problem was, but in any event, the lawyer was silenced in the courtroom by taser. Think about that. And what have we done about that? What are we going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? Well, that's where the committees of safety come in. And people need to do something because it's getting bad. And don't think that one man can save this nation. That's not possible. You know, Trump is doing what he's got to do. The White Hats are doing what they got to do, the military particularly. And they may be able to bring it back to the people and hand it back to you, but can you keep it? The question that was asked Benjamin Franklin, what do we have? What kind of a government do we have? It's a republic. If you can keep it. A republic requires people to respond and participate in the government, to have government by consent, by denying or agreeing with the things that they do, removing them from office. We have the power to do that. We have so many powers that people don't realize, and we share all those powers here in our courses, on our website, a lot of papers we've written, done a tremendous amount of research. Everything we write, we're heavily loaded with footnotes. We give all of our paperwork where we found these things as far as documents and evidence and history and so on and so forth. But it's up to the people to save America and to take these things back. Next question.
There is legislation in the form of Senate Bill 1409. It's called the Kids Online Safety Act. It already has the support of 40 senators. If enacted, it would provide for the presenting of a driver's license as proof of age to enter the internet indiscriminately. I have also heard that would disclose one's geographic location and even have the potential for sniffing out a VPN. It would also give the state's attorney generals authority to sue any non-compliant website or website that is deemed to be found in violation of the legislative dictates. This would deal a pretty big blow to all of us to the point that this conversation here may not even be possible. Although this is all unconstitutional, they seem to get away with it without about anything for a time and will certainly capitalize on that time. You have probably heard the phrase 10 days of darkness, and nobody can make a definitive conclusion on what that entails, but with the upcoming eclipse and the recent cyber attacks, there would be an opportunity to exploit, and there are claims that this event would bring down internet and phone communication, and it would be temporary, but when restored, would now require proof of credentials to access. What can people do other than call our representatives, whom will ignore and impugn us? They say they could provide a short video link with the legislative name and number, which I already have.
So the question is, what can you do?
What can you do to keep that from passing?
Well, first of all, you can start by starting or joining a committee of safety. That's where all things begin. We're running late on some of these things. Some of these things are going to pass. And it's going to be problematic. I don't think that's going to pass. I think it's going to be too difficult to really, because the whole internet would almost shut down at that point, and a lot of other things and a lot of problems. It's not. I don't think it's going to go, but doesn't mean that they won't try, and it doesn't mean that they can't, because they could. You know, again, we're looking to take this nation back. They're being pushed to really operate very quickly because their time is short. They only have till the end of this year, and it's game over. So yeah, the pressure is going to be worse and worse as we go. But the answer is government by consent. That is the answer. It's the only answer available. And again, that gets back to a requirement of educating yourself, applying a little bit of your time every month. Many hands make light work. So the more people involved in your committee of safety, the more people you have to divvy out the necessary work that needs to be done. You'll start off with the most important things, which we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And then, you know, as you start to build up your membership and more people involved, you can start to develop more and more subcommittees and get more and more involved. We want to get heavily involved in not only the judicial process, but also the political process. But again, it's up to the people to do this. I don't know if I answered because all the questions, it seemed to have been a few things, but in any event, I guess I answered it.
Okay. This one is fairly long, but interesting. I'm a 64-year-old Floridian and became disabled after being diagnosed with an autoimmune disease of multiple sclerosis. Last year, I was hospitalized requiring emergency surgical intervention. I have multiple severe allergies and stopped all vaccinations some time ago due to adverse reactions, including anaphylaxis. Just prior to surgery, the COVID nurse of the hospital literally harassed me to be tested for COVID, and since I don't buy into the testing any more than the vaccination, I refused to test. While lying on a gurney in severe pain and drugged with massive amounts of pain medication, the nurse told me that I had no choice but to be tested per hospital protocol. As the nurse put the long testing swab in front of my face, I became very agitated and flatly told the nurse I do not consent and to leave since she was causing me more pain. I was looking at the operating room door while being held up by the nurse. For the record, just minutes prior to the nurse showing up, I had been given something to relax me through my IV, and the pain was excruciating, and despite all the pain meds given, there wasn't any improvement in pain. Surgery was the only way to help my problem, as the condition is considered life-threatening. My noncompliance and nasty response to the nurse was then placed into my chart note, as well as my being with a lack of knowledge. I did inform the nurse that I'm a retired physician with an active medical license, and I refused to be tested for COVID due to its potential dangers. After my experiencing how a patient can be bullied by house staff while in a helpless and vulnerable condition, I began contemplating writing up some sort of notarized declaration that I can carry with me to present for medical purposes. Do you have or can you generate such a document?
Well, if that individual would want to kind of help us with the framework of that, we can then put the legal focus onto it, and common law, of course, focus onto that kind of a document. But bear in mind, you know, we're very close. So people who's old enough to understand about communism, Marxism, and the problems that they've created, and that was what World War II was really all about. You know, this problem, Nazism in that case, but nevertheless, it's really all the same because it brings you to the same place, brings the people into slavery. And what happens is, first of all, you want to capture the people, you want to make them think something that isn't true to lead them along, and you want to take away their knowledge. You know, if you got to keep the slaves simple and dumb, ignorant, so they don't want us to learn the law. They don't want us to learn the process of government by consent. They don't want us to know any of those things, and they've done a good job taking all that away from us. So people don't have that knowledge anymore. It doesn't, you know, it's just not there. And so the iron fist is ready to close. And anybody who understands that and understands communism, once that iron fist closes, it's done. They control enough on every level of government to close that iron fist and will never escape. And that we become our own captives in a sense, because I was talking to a person today and in the store when I was shopping, And I just couldn't get through to this person. They were filled with so much, you know, just insanity that they get from the news. They're absolutely convinced that the fantasy world that they live in is exactly that, is a fantasy. It's not reality. And I couldn't convince that person. And that's the problem. Look what happened in Culver. I can't tell you how many times people say, I'm going to call the cops on you because you don't have a mask on or whatever the case may be. And I had, as a matter of fact, what this guy's talking about, I had a piece of paper. And that piece of paper was from the governor, who got it off online, with the law that anybody who couldn't tolerate a mask didn't have to wear one. They didn't want to hear that, and they didn't want to see that. Okay? People were in a frenzy. They were frightened. And yet, they're ignorant to the law. They don't just they don't want to hear it. Oh, you wrote that paper yourself, and so on and so forth. So, look it. The Iron Fist is about ready to close. The only way out is the military. We the people can't do nothing. We can, well, things could happen at the really end of the stage, and it'll get pretty bloody, and we wouldn't succeed at it. Only the military can save America right now, and that's where we're at. We're waiting for that military move. Devolution is in play, and that's what's happening. But once that's done, it's up to the people to take control. And if they don't take control, if they don't educate themselves and get up, because liberty does not defend itself. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights cannot and does not defend itself. The people have to defend it. We have to take these people out of office as they break the law, as they break their oaths. And we'll teach people how to do that. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. If the people don't step up and get involved, then your children will be enslaved in the future, or your children's children, because we'll be right back here again. You know, all these crazies, these psychopaths, sociopaths, you know, they seek power. So we're gonna, you know, a lot of offices will continue to be filled with psychopaths and sociopaths, but we'll be able to control them, you know. If the people understand their power, step up and exercise it, we can control it. So anyway, the Iron Fist is closing. That's what we're seeing, what's going on. That's why less and less the right of being able to, right of speech is being denied, right of religion, right of a lot of things. Okay, just listen to the news, see what's going on. We're in trouble. The Iron Fist is closing. And once it's fully closed, you'll never get out of it. And there is no nation around that would assist anyone to get out of it. You know, America is the only reason, the Constitution of America, America's Constitution is the only reason why this world still is free today to some degree, and we still have a chance. So you're going to be given that second chance. What are you going to do about it? You're going to protect your children? You know, you're going to protect your family? Or are you just going to say, well, freedom is for mine and I'll go my happy way? Look, if you don't want to do anything, which everyone should do something, at least educate your sheriff. Buy your sheriff a book. Get him educated. At bare minimum, let's get our sheriffs educated. The sheriff is our last line of defense. And we have to have, if our sheriffs were educated, I think a lot of what's happening wouldn't even be anywhere half of where it's at right now. Because there's a lot of stuff we could do. But in any event, it's up to the people. All right. Is there any other questions?
No, that's all the questions, John.
Okay, great. All right. Like I said, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about how to approach our sheriff and also how to take control of local government 100%. 100% control of local government, but the people have to execute and exercise their unalienable rights, and you come together to do that. So let me open up this Microsoft Word. Approaching and educating your sheriff. Now, everybody should be able to see this. I know last week we had a problem with people were able to see the paperwork that I was sharing, and by the way, the paperwork that I was sharing is available not only in our course, but it's also available under law, come down to court forms and process. And the paperwork that I was sharing on the video at the time that didn't open up, I guess there's a quirk between opening up things on the browser and then it you know, then start meetings, they can see it and process it, but it didn't work. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try that right now to see what happened. But we have here under instruction forms for traffic court. And again, this is a lot more than traffic court. This anything in any town court, village court, and most city courts, okay, they don't have the ability to give you due process. So you can exercise this whole thing, this whole, all this paperwork. You just have to adjust it accordingly to your case. And then, you know, you can use this defense. But anyway, let me just open this up. We'll open up a Word. Let's see. Jurisdictional challenge. Let's open that up and see. Okay. Now that opened up, but it's not. It opened up for me, but it's not sharing. Let's try enable editing. It's still not sharing. Okay. So the problem I had really was opening up the papers on from the browser. But I see that it is being shared right now. The paper, the things I'm sharing right now is being shared. Let me go back and open up. Okay, we should have a Microsoft Word page here now. I don't see that now. Let me try opening that up again.
You got to change the window.
I don't know why that's not happening here. Hey, no, you're not seeing the Microsoft Word program, are you?
No.
Why that's not happening? Let me
just your web page.
Right, I did. I was sharing it a short while ago.
Now it went blank. Now it's back to your web page.
Okay. Let me see if I can open this up again. Matter of fact, let me. I'm going to shut off my sharing and then turn it back on.
I think that's a good idea.
Or. Let's see, select items. Let me open it up and I'll select these items. I need to open up and select. Okay, approach. It's just not showing up. Let me try. I'm going to have to shut this off and start over again. Hang on a minute. Stop sharing. Okay, I'm no longer sharing, right?
Yes, you're down to the members.
I'm going to come back and share again. I get those two things. Share computer sound. Okay, auto share. I'm going to start sharing again. Now it should be sharing.
Yes, I have your browser.
Why ain't that sharing? Let me try something else. Try to share something else. Cool, Wanto. That's not sharing either, is it?
Nope.
All right. We've never had problems before sharing Microsoft Word, right? I don't recall ever having a problem sharing that before. Okay, let me try to go in and select it by forcing it to list demands and have government by consent. Okay. Now let's see. I think you can see it now, right? See a quo wanto?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to government by consent. Okay. So approaching and educating your sheriff. And again, this is all, a lot of this stuff I'm going to be talking about right now is in the handbook. Okay. All of the following handbooks, videos, PowerPoints, and many other tools referred to in this and the following are found at nationallibertyalliance.org/handbooks. So let me just go up here and just show real quick. It's under Starter Committee of Safety. Come down to handbooks, videos, and tools. And pretty much all of the information in more details in handbooks and other different things, PDFs, Microsoft Words, PowerPoints, and so on, videos, audios, All on this page is sharing for how to create a committee of safety, how the process works, and the different information. And remember, there is a lot of information. We've done a lot of research to put this together. And there is a lot of information, but no one person needs to understand it all. You will have some people who will dig down deep, and you'll get one person who will become a very good advisor for your group because they're really working deep to study this stuff. Hopefully, at some point in time, you have at least one person in that committee of safety that has taken the course, court access in the common law course, knows how to write papers, know how to do different things if you have to do something legally, and we're going to teach people how to do these things. And we'll always be here as an advisor to someone who has a basic understanding of this stuff. And even if you don't, we'll be an advisor. But, of course, it's much better if you have a basic understanding because then you'll be able to articulate your position, whether it be at a board meeting or whether it be at a court. So hopefully at least one person in the group will get educated at least in the common law and how to access the courts and how the forms work, how the structure works, how the whole political process works. Okay, but also you have to get a little deep also in the political process, and you know there'll be a political committee at some point, and that political committee will get into the listing of different things that they have to get involved in. We wrote a handbook on that also, the breakdown of the subcommittee called the political committee, and they're broken up and they have to deal with other people in different counties. And that's why it's extremely important when you're building your committee of safety that you're also working with your counties next door. You want as many counties as possible in your state to get together to form committees of safety, and eventually you develop what's called a committee of correspondence. Every committee of safety has a committee of correspondence. And you get communications between the different groups and individuals. By the way, someone has an open mic. If you could check your mic and mute it. I see one open here. I see. But in any event, when you get involved in the political process, you'll find that the different election districts, for instance, maybe an assemblyman or a state senator, state senators really should be county-wise, but I believe they gerrymandered them also, at least here they did in New York, where it goes into different counties, and it really gets ridiculous in some cases. So a lot of gerrymandering is done, but also there are different election districts that kind of move into another county, and you have to be able to communicate with those people in that county in those election districts, and that is worked out through the subcommittee called the political committee, the handbook for that, okay, organizing the County Committee of Safety Committee Man Handbook. Okay, we have this is about a 40-page handbook. These are all free PDF downloads. You can also get all these handbooks, or most of these handbooks, in pocket form up on Amazon. This is basically breaks down how the political process works, how you form and get into the different election districts. For the purpose of discussing whoever's running for office in that particular election district, whatever it may be. It can be a congressional district. Congressional districts will go into different counties. It could be a senatorial district, but eventually we have to get rid of the 17th Amendment because it's unconstitutional. So it's really null and void. We the people will just demand that, and we don't have to do any kind of a constitutional convention or anything to do that because it's unlawful. And we've done a paper on that if anybody's interested. It's a memorandum on the 17th Amendment. We've done one on the 16th Amendment also. You can find them in the courses, but I do believe you can find them on our website, I think either under our web, I think you can find that, where is this? Okay, yeah, I think you can find that under federal court cases. You'll find a lot of memorandums there. You might find some of these memorandums under Education Starts Here, come down to Law, and go to the court form page that we were looking at before. Let's see, Law, and Court Forms and Process, you'll find them there. And you'll definitely find a lot of these on our course. Let's see, Court Access in the Common Law. We have a table of contents. And in that table of contents, you can come down and you'll find memorandums. We have a lot of memorandums. And the memorandums I was talking about, a memorandum on the 16th Amendment, the 10th Amendment, a memorandum on the 13th Amendment, memorandum on the 17th. I think I mentioned that one. So there's a lot of good memorandums in there that lays out the illegality or the unconstitutionality of a lot of these things that they have done. But anyway, you still have state senators. I mean, we have 62 state senators here in New York, and there's 62 counties. Logic would think, well, hey, one for each county. You know, things are different when you move from county to county. At least it isn't here in New York. You know, living in Orange County across the river from me, or going over into Ulster County, or up north a little bit, or especially going up into Albany County, for instance. I'm in Dutchess County. Each one of these counties is a different lifestyle. I've lived in three counties since I've been up here, and it's very different in each one of the counties. Not extremely different, but it's just different. People have different mindset, I guess you'd say. And that might be true, I guess, in all the different counties throughout the United States. I'm sure there's a little difference. But in any event, the point I'm trying to make is that we have 62 senators, and now, but they're not within their own counties. They gerrymandered them. And so it becomes a little problematic and a little strange working out the political processes. But anyway, we've got a book on that. Lead people through it, and maybe one day we'll have a little bit of a discussion on this particular book. And definitely, if anybody has any questions or comments or corrections to offer on any of these things, we're always open for those things here at Monday night programs. Okay, but anyway, going back to where we're looking at, and approaching the sheriff, okay, as I mentioned, the County Committee of Safety Organization Structure Handbook is found again on the handbooks page. Anybody who wants to start a committee of safety or get involved in a committee of safety within your county, you just go up to our webpage and you come into the directory, click on directory, and we've broken things up into 10 districts. We have district leaders. I don't think all of these district leaders are active at the moment, but I think a lot of them are. And we're looking for help, anybody who would like to be a district coordinator working with National Liberty Alliance. In the future, once we get some funding, we're going to go professional, but until we get funding, we can't. So we're looking for people to fund us, some organization or whatever. But in any event, until then, everything we do is voluntary. But you can come in here and join your committee of safety. I'm going to show you how to look up a committee of safety. You know, I'll look into New York. But before I do that, if you don't find a committee of safety in your county, you just back up to this page. Maybe we'll put a link on the next page. No, well, it's hard to do. We can't do it on every page. Anyway, you just back up here and on this page, and there is a link for more information, instructions to organize your county. Go to this page here to get more information. But I'm looking for the link here. Here it is. Register or edit your committee of safety. So if you've come in here and you already registered a committee of safety for your county, and then you want to change the contact person or the phone number, you could always come back here and edit it. And if you click on edit it, it'll take you to that page where you can find your county and reset that. Sometimes people might want to start the committee of safety, but they really don't want to be on the committee of correspondence, because that's what that person would be. And they might pass it to someone else. Again, you come up here, one person takes their name off, and the other person put the name on. If two or three people are listed up here, hopefully they are working together in the same committee of safety. It doesn't make any sense to have two or three committees of safety operating in the same county. But here's a for instance. Let's take California. We were looking at California last week, so we'll look at California again this week. And if you click on California, you'll find out that we have quite a few counties, okay? that have started committees of safety. And the county you live in, if there's nobody in this county, in your county, and nobody listed here, then you can go make the listing. And remember, you can always, shift that over to someone else that might be more interested in handling this part of the process of your committees of safety. But for instance, here we have 1, 2, 3 people in Solano County, and I'm kind of hoping that Jennifer and Debbie and Chad are working together and realize this, and that they're not forming 3 different committees of safety. But anybody who does choose to start a committee of safety, for instance, in this state we have 1,200 members, 1,219 to be exact, and there's 58 counties. So anybody who starts a committee of safety here in your county, you can send an email to Jan, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. He'll check to make sure your name's up here and your phone number works. And then he will get to you a copy of, a list of all the people in your state. We'll give you the first name, the county that they're in. Obviously, they'll be in your state, so it's California in this case, and the phone number. We don't give out emails to anybody because emails is not the way we communicate. We communicate by phone. People send emails out all the time. It doesn't mean anything, It's helpful. We send out emails 1 or 2 a week, but a lot of them, I think, go to trash. Maybe people don't see it. I don't know. You can't organize and get people to do anything through emails. You have to be, really talking to the people on phone. So anyway, that's a way to build up and get people in your county or your counties nearby, get people involved. If you have when you do your seminar, your first seminar for a committee of safety, you're going to want to invite as many people as you can in the counties close by, other than just your county, because when they come together and they hear the seminar, that should really excite them to potentially start a committee of safety in their county, and you assist, you work together, because it's going to be a working relationship as time goes on if you're really going to do your duty and get involved in a committee of safety, a county committee of safety, to become the true committee member. Okay, so let's get into what we're talking about tonight. We're talking tonight about educating sheriffs particularly and taking control of our county. Not just our county, but all government levels within our county and eventually your state government and eventually the federal government. But first, all things must start at the beginning. You know, the government closest to you is the ones that you want to bring to order, bring under the common law, get them to be obedient to the people, and then you'll have local government protecting you from a higher government. You have a local government protecting you from a state government. Eventually, you get control of your state government. You have state government protecting you from federal government. Eventually, you will get control of the federal government. And then we just have to watch for tyrants and get rid of them as soon as they raise their ugly heads up. So let me get to that page, government by consent. So important note, read the county committees of safety organizing handbook, which I showed you where that was, and follow the detailed information on organizing your county committee of safety. It is extremely important to structure your county committee of safety as detailed in order to be able to be compatible with other county committees of safety and work with other counties. It's important to understand this. Extremely important. We're free and independent. You can do things, every group will do things a little different than others, and all that is fine. We'll have different focuses, different resolutions maybe, and so on and so forth. But we have to be reasonably structured in such a way that we really can work together with other committees of safety because we're organized in the same fashion. And that's why we wrote the handbook. And it's a very logical handbook, and if people have better ideas and different things that we can change to make things work, then hey, let's do it. Okay, once you have 6 or so people, less if you are a really determined individual, you should prepare the following as you continue to grow. After your seminar or at any time, you can update your resolutions and charter, but it is important to have your resolution, charter, and the seal. You must have a seal. This is extremely important. We get into a lot of these details in the handbook. You can get one, and you have it bound at Staples, or Office Max, or wherever you can get your, you know, get your, you can get a seal and get things binded. Give this a copy of the book to your sheriff, with the book, government by consent. So we're going to get into a little bit of what that we're talking about here, and you can find this information again, as far as the government by consent book and information, at the link I showed you on the website, or nationallibertyalliance.org/campaign-constitutional-sheriffs. Now, what you want to do is you want to get a resolution. Remember, you can make a resolution, and you can do your charter early, even though you only have maybe six people. You can do it early, but, you know, eventually you get 20, 30 people, and you go review the charter, and you get more involved. And you'll update the charter and resolution as time goes on anyway. You'll come to certain situations, and you realize you'll have to put this into your resolutions. And so you'll visit it from time to time to update it. Okay, so resolutions, you vote on resolutions, try to maintain all the proposed resolutions and the proposed resolutions that we offered for national uniformity. It's very logical. I don't think anybody would have any disagreements with what we have put together so far. You can find a copy of these proposals, again, at the handbook page. Your seal, again, you purchase that at Office Max or wherever, you know, you can buy office material. And you must seal both the charter and the resolution. With your county committee of safety seal, and we'll discuss that a little later and discuss it below. But anyway, you want to put a seal on. A seal is like having an affidavit, okay? The committee of safety, if you were to go into the court and you file a paper, which we're going to look at a quo warranto in a very short time, we're going to review a quo warranto for this particular purpose we're talking about tonight. at the bottom of it, instead of having an affidavit form, you just put your seal on it, and it's a seal of honor. Okay, the charter, you get a copy of that found in the same place. You find information on this stuff in handbooks. After creating your charter and resolutions, you get this all bound at Staples or wherever you want to go. You want to file and make sure that, you know, all this is bound up. You have the resolutions, you have the charter, and both of them should be sealed, and it should be bound together. You file a copy with the county clerk for the record, and you give one to the sheriff, and one is on file within your county committee of safety. Now, the one you give to the sheriff, you want to give that to him with the book. The sheriff needs to get educated. The purpose we wrote the book, Government by Consent, was to educate not only ourselves, but to educate our sheriff. There's a lot of information on the sheriff, how the sheriff office came to be. It's a common law office. Nobody can get rid of the sheriff because that's the law. You know, it's a part of the common law. your sheriff needs to understand his powers and authorities. And I think they'll be very surprised when they start to find out how far off base they really are operating under. Okay, your first meeting with the sheriff. Make an appointment to meet the sheriff, no more than 5 to 10 minutes. That's your first time you're meeting with him. Your first meeting with the sheriff is just to introduce yourself and give him the government by consent book, the charter, resolutions. You can also download a PDF copy of Sheriff's Handbook, Grand Jury Handbook, the Pettigrew Handbook, and the Founding Document Handbooks. Those are all in PDF forms up on the same page we were just looking at. if you want, you can purchase the handbooks at Amazon. Anybody who wants to purchase those handbooks at Amazon, I believe there's a link in the handbook to find that, or... But you would come here, let's see, where is that? Yeah, books by John Darash. If you click on that, these are the different handbooks that are available right now up on Amazon. But the PDF copies are fine too, you know. We're trying to get this information out. We're not here about selling books, but we do want to make it available, and it does help to support our effort. We make a couple of bucks on each one of these books. again, you can download all this stuff. Second meeting with the sheriff. Now, anybody who is not getting involved, and everybody should be involved. This is our country. This is our nation. And if we don't pull together, united we stand, divided we shall fall. And again, like I said, Trump may be able to give our nation back to us with the help of the military, of course, but it's up to you to keep it. And we'll only lose it again if we don't get educated and start exercising a right, unalienable right of government by consent. Okay, so your second meeting with the sheriff, you're prepared to meet the sheriff, discuss the important points you will want to make to the sheriff, choose one speaker to make these points, after which the rest of the meeting should be a Q&A by all the members with the sheriff. So you're actually inviting him to your Committee of Safety meeting. It may be a month or two after you've given him the handbooks and all of the PDFs and a copy of your resolution and charter. So a month or two goes by, he's got plenty of time to go through this stuff and read through it. He should be able to read through all of it. I mean, even the entire book, he should be able to read through it in a month or two. Just let him know, well, we're going to give you a call and talk more about this and invite you to the meeting. Then you set the meeting up eventually when you're ready. So you prepare this and you have your Q&A with the sheriff and so on. Every county committee of safety member should have copies of these books also. Everybody should have this knowledge that we're trying to give to the sheriff. You should know these things. If you're going to be a jurist, you should know what it means to be a jurist. What are your powers? What are your authorities? You are the sovereign. You make the law. You decide what's going to happen. And you don't let the judge get away with anything. There is no judge in a court of law. There's only the people. We are the tribunal. The judge is a traffic cop. He puts on his magistrate hat. That's what he does. He can't make any decisions in a court of record. Once we the people take control, it's all our control. People need to understand that. We'll never be free until we understand these things. Okay, let's see. Every county committee member should have copies of these books. The meeting should proceed as normal. Bible reading is preferred over prayer, in my opinion, but whatever you want to do. We have to acknowledge the king of the court. The king of the court is Jesus Christ. And that's it. We are a common law nation. The Bible is really the common law, ultimately. God wrote the law into our hearts. We have the basic understanding of law in our hearts. We know when someone's been wrong, when someone's been injured, what needs to be done to fix that problem. We, the people, can figure that out. That's why you have 12 jurors. You should do the Pledge of Allegiance, pass the donation can, or agree on monthly dues, either or. Review last month's meetings for corrections and committee reports, then proceed with your Q&A with the sheriff. And there is a process. We lay it all out in the handbook on how every step takes place in your Committee of Safety, how to organize it, what are the steps of operation, what are the subcommittee breakdowns and so on. What is the job of each one of these subcommittees? Again, there's more to be written on some of this stuff, especially when it gets down into some of these subcommittees. But we do have a lot of stuff already written up already. Okay, so you invite your sheriff. Or one, after the meeting is over with your sheriff, you invite your sheriff or one of his deputies to attend your monthly meetings, which would allow for the sheriff's input. Stay on point, keep it friendly or on a professional level. Assure the sheriff that we know that our country has professional emergency services, such as the town fire departments and rescue teams, town, city, and state and police departments, and most importantly, a county sheriff, who is the chief administrator and law enforcer of his county, of all those operations. The sheriff needs to understand he can walk onto any emergency situation, under any kind of an emergency, and take control of the process. They don't know this. I don't think a lot of sheriffs know this. So they're the chief administrator and law enforcer of the county. Sheriff is responsible for protecting the people's unalienable rights and the Constitution for the United States of America. The counties and towns have well-planned protocols and integrated communications to place to deal with disasters such as storms, power outages, floods, public health emergencies, aviation disasters, chemical and biological emergencies. Therefore, we are not planning to reinvent the wheel or interfere with their professional decisions and protocols. We, in fact, completely and totally trust and support their expertise and competence. Now, we wrote this in particular because once you get into the handbook, you're going to see that the people have a lot more involvement in what's going on than people understand. And we can see some problems and maybe push for hopefully potential corrections with some of these professionals in these different situations. Anyway, at the end of the meeting, invite your sheriff to the next Committee of Safety meeting. Invite the sheriff and his deputies to take the court access and the common law for free. A lot of our course, half of our courses are totally free. You just have to sign up to be a member, and you can sign right into the courses. We have a couple of courses that require you to be a premier member. Premier member is someone given $5 a month or more to support the effort of National Liberty Alliance. But we do have one course that we charge $125 for. It's a law course, a full-fledged law course. You'll understand due process by the time you get finish that course. It's 90 hours. It's a video course. And we've already pointed to that a number of times, so I'm not going to do it again. But it's on our blue bar under education. And, we probably teach you a lot more than you would learn in law school. A lot of things that they hold back for various reasons. Approaching a school board, and this is the key, and this is true on all the boards, because remember, your government is run mostly by boards. I know there are other structures in different places. Some places may have a mayor, some places may not have a mayor. You may have a town board, a city board, a village board. In most cases, you do have those boards, and you have school boards. And these are governments that have taken control of us. We need to take control of them. And so here's a process. Approaching the school boards. In your county building is an office called Real Property. People aren't familiar with that. Where you can get a mailing list, labels or on a thumb drive. They'll print out labels for you or, with the name, the address of these individuals for whatever purpose you need it. Or they'll just put it on a thumb drive for you. I think the last time I done it, they charged a penny a label. So if you get 500 labels, it's 500 cents or $5. There may be a $10 or $20 charge and then a penny per label, something like that, whatever it is. But you could just put it on a thumb drive, and that shouldn't be no more than a dollar. Provide the thumb drive, and all they have to do is hit a button, okay? But even if they hit you for $5 or $10, whatever. Okay, and basically what you're doing is you're going into the county bill Real Property, you can go in and ask to get a list of all the people within a specific school district, and you'll get a runoff list of all the people that live in that school district. You'll get their name and their address. If you get it on a thumb drive and someone is a little savvy with working Microsoft Word, you can run your postcards right through and have everything printed out and put all of the necessary addresses automatically right onto the postcard. Or you can print off the postcards and then put the labels on. Or you can print your own labels and put your labels on, once you get it to list. Or you can go down to Staples, have them run off the postcards, and then you put the labels on it. You could probably give them also the list, and they'll have the labels printed off with the information as far as the detailed names and addresses of the individuals within that district. Now, remember, you could do this for the school districts, which usually is within town boundaries or something of that nature. This is true with dealing with people, bringing them together in many different ways. And you can pull people together, like I said, by the town, by the village. You can pull them together and get all this stuff printed off. You can do it either way you want. But anyway, we got a proposed postcard. And this is for, we're going to be talking specifically about school districts, taking back our schools, because they're demoralizing our children. And if we, the people, don't do something, we're going to be Sodom and Gomorrah if we're not there yet already. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Okay, and this is what I'm proposing on a postcard. You can write whatever you want, but basically you want to get to the point. You want to give a minimum information. You don't want to get long-winded because people won't read long-winded things. they're being trained to tweet alone, and so you got to do tweets almost. Okay, Deer School District resident. Now, again, if you have these things printed off correctly, this could have the individual's name right there instead of Deer School District, Deer School District resident. Okay, I'll use Dutchess County where it says your county. The Dutchess County Committee of Safety is meeting to discuss the demoralization of our children in our schools and demand for proper moral education and accountability to the parents. We will be planning to attend the next school board meeting in your district to bring our demands to the board. If the board refuses, we will lawfully remove them from the board and take back our schools. Thank you for your time and consideration. And it should be signed with the person's name, whoever the County Committee of Safety chairman is. And then on the bottom here, you see the meeting date, the time, and where it's at, the address. And what we're doing is we're inviting everyone in a particular school district. You'll do this in every school district throughout your county. I know in my county, I think we have 20 school districts. Okay, and that's just on the basic level of education in the first 12 years. Then you have the colleges and so on. So, again, that's another point. But, again, we need to take it all back. So you're inviting these people to your next Committee of Safety meeting, which would be just prior to the board meeting coming up. Okay, and now you've brought a lot of people into the game, and they're going to see what the Committee of Safety is all about. You give them literature. You're going to get a lot of membership building up on this, because then you're going to go, and these people are going to go with you with the Committee of Safety that's already in process, and you're going to go to the board meeting, the school board meeting, and you're going to overwhelm them. At all County Committee of Safety meetings, we will list out our demands and appoint a speaker. It is important to have your sheriff at this meeting because we will need the sheriff to serve papers on the board members that resist. We're going to show you how to remove these people from power and authority. We're going to take them out of office. Either they will obey or they will be removed. And that's what a quo warranto is all about. We're going to show you that quo warranto and how to execute that quo warranto through the courts if it's necessary. So, if at the school board meeting the board limits speaker time, they'll try to shut someone down that's really, pressuring them. You should have a whole bunch of people behind the speaker on that line. And each person right behind one after another should say, hey, I'll give them my time when they try to shut them down. And they can walk away and pass their time back on to the speaker. And you can run your whole line like that. The point is you got to get the message out to these people. And then we're going to serve them with papers right there at the meeting if they refuse to comply. We have to do this in all, in my case, like I said, 20 school districts. And think about also at the same time the membership building of your Committee of Safety. By the time you get through all your school districts, you'll be in 1,000. You'll have 1,000 people involved in your Committee of Safety. Yeah, I'm willing to bet that, or many, many hundreds, let's put it that way. And many hands make light work. The more people involved, the less work we have to do, individually speaking. So if the school board meets the board limit, meeting the board limit speaker time, we should line up behind the speaker and pass our time to the speaker. The sheriff should be... I don't think the sheriff necessarily needed to be standing with you, but it would be a good idea. I think it's a good intimidation on them, with the sheriff standing right next to the speaker, or his deputy, of course. It doesn't have to be the sheriff. Because this thing, it's important to bring the sheriff in. Why? Because you're letting the sheriff know what you're doing, number one. He should agree with you. But number two, you're coming to do your job here, sheriff, because we're probably going to have to serve these people, and we want you to serve the papers. And that's his job. He's got to do that. He can't resist that. So the sheriff should be standing with the speaker ready to serve the quo warranto upon the board members that resist. I'll read through this. It's 16 school districts. I'm sorry. My county has 16 school districts. Therefore, we can organize a few school districts at the same time and meet with the boards at their scheduled board meetings. So what that is once you do one and you start to do another school district, you probably... send email out to two or three or even more school districts, the people in the different school districts concerning the meeting that you're going to discuss, and then the secondary meeting, which would be taking the school board and bringing them back under the control of the people. So that, you know, you could do more than one at a time, so you can go through it a lot quicker. You build your committee of safety membership larger and quicker. Again, more hands make light work. Many hands make light work. Okay, so organize a few districts at the same time, but you'll also have to find out when these meetings are, when these board meetings are, and then figure out scheduling what school districts you need to pull together the people from those school districts, and then schedule them for going in. And everybody needs to attend that meeting. You have to overwhelm them. You have to make standing room only. You have to make the people going out the door, there's so many people there. And as a matter of fact, you probably have someone savvy on maybe videotaping and potentially live streaming. So there are people that can't get in. You could be live streaming right into the people that are standing outside, and everybody can see what's going on. Or at least record it and put it up on the Internet, right? Every time we organize a meeting, we will build County Committee of Safety membership by dozens and eventually hundreds, and therefore we will get a lot more work done. Many hands make light work. This can be repeated with every village, town, city and county government boards. Once we bring all these government agencies under the control of the people, we could have over 1,000 members, which will make we the people more powerful than these tyrants. Additionally, at this time, we would be reaching out to our county committees of safety to work with them to bring our state and federal representatives under control. This is why we should be encouraging and helping our other counties to develop committees of safety. Okay, so it's a basically simple plan. There's a lot more details on this in the handbook, but I wanted to put just minimum amount of information. Now, a quo vanto. The point is you're going to give them a list, and we're going to look at a potential list of what we're expecting the board, school board to be doing. We'll also create a list maybe for the city and the town and so on, so when you go visit those boards. And eventually the county legislators, you'll be visiting them, bringing them under the authority and the will of we the people, letting them know this is what we want you to do. This is what we're hiring you for. And if you're not going to be obedient to us, then we're going to remove you from office. That simple. I'm going to show you how we're going to do this. So this is the power of the people. This is your authority. This is your duty. Woe is us if we don't do this. Our children will pay for this if we don't do this. We must do this. And we don't deserve liberty if we don't do this. Let's put it that way. Okay. So the writ quo vanto. Once you bring this list, and then remember, when you go in there, you're going to have the names of every person on that board. Okay? So if there's 6 people, 8 people, 10 people, whatever it is, you're going to have their names. You're going to have a quo vanto to each one of those individuals. And then when we bring forward the final list of requirements, which is what the speaker is going to be talking about, what we want them to do, and if they refuse to comply, then that's when we have the sheriff serve the papers. They got 10 days to comply, to give oaths, bonds, financials, or they're removed from office automatically. That's the law. If we need enforcement, we'll use the sheriff and we'll pull it into the court, which we'll discuss that at a later time because I don't think we'll have enough time for that tonight. But anyway, let's look real quick at the quo vanto and then the list of information that needs to go along with that. Where is how to have a government memorandum? Oh, here it is. Writ quo vanto. I'm going to read through this. It's a pretty short paper. It's not too long. And it's a writ quo vanto. Oh, this is a memorandum of law. Hang on a minute. Quo vanto. Let's see if this opens up. Okay, yeah, it did. Okay, this is how you're going to put your quo vanto together. Okay. The other thing is a memorandum of the quo vanto, I believe, and that's attached to the back of this paper here. This is 3-page paper, so it's not very long. It's very short. We set this up as if it's looking like it's going into a court case. You have your county committee of safety. So in my case, it would be Dutchess County Committee of Safety. You have your address. You have to have an address. You get a box. It's best you can get a P.O. box, but also there are private box holders that you can get. You want to have an address. You want to have a town. And you put your address on that, which in your town, city, state, and zip. And then you want to put on this the names of each one of the board members, okay? So all of the board members are here. They're called respondents. By what authority we act? We act by the authority of the Declaration of Independence. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's the foundation of our law, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter, so we're going to alter them, or abolish it. We could abolish the board and recreate a whole new board, and to institute new boards or new government. That's the Declaration of Independence. That's the power of the people. We are the sovereigns. We are the lawmakers. The sovereign makes the law. Now, the sovereign is under the sovereign of the universe, and we have to be obedient to the law, God's law, the laws of nature and of nature's God. But they have to be obedient unto our law. So this is a common law process, memorandum of law attached. Again, I'm going to use my information so it makes a little sense, your state, your county. So New York, Dutchess County, under seal, served by sheriff. Writ quo warranto. Now, I'm not going to be reading through all of these different, I'm not sure how many footnotes I have, but I'm going to read through one or two of them. Okay. The writ quo warranto, a writ or a legal action requiring a person to show by what warrant or office or franchise is held, claimed, or exercised. And this paper is going to lay that out. The other thing I want to mention as a footnote here, which I'll bring it up when we get to it. So this is writ quo warranto, administrative notice and demand for identification and credentials. On and for the record, this good faith presentment pursuant to the First and Ninth Amendment and the unalienable right of the sovereign demand your response for redress of grievances herein presented by Dutchess County Committee of Safety or your County Committee of Safety to the school district board members named above for the purpose of obtaining full disclosure of identification under the determining of what authority, venue, office, and capacity the recipient appears to conduct public business in approaching the presenter. This administrative notice, supported by memorandum of law attached, duly served on you and deemed actual, constructive, and sufficient notice, requires that you provide to the protester, the presenter, within 10 business days from the time of presentment, copies of the below listed documents, said copies to be certified under penalty of perjury and exemplified in accordance with First Statute 122 and 2 Stat 298 and Federal Rules of Civil Procedure Rule 902 under Article 6 of the Constitution of the United States for the United States of America. And I'm going to go through that list in a minute. But before that, I want to read another footnote in here. This is footnote number 2. Okay, and that is, and the unalienable right of the sovereign to demand this, and you all have to respond. And the footnote says this, the very meaning of sovereignty is that the decree of the sovereign makes the law, and foreign courts, administrative courts, boards, anything, cannot condemn, influence, persuading sovereign to make the decree. Sovereignty itself is, of course, the author and the source of law. But in our system, where sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And the law, it's the Constitution, along whatever the jury might promulgate, is the definition and limitation of powers. So whatever the law is, or whatever the jury might say it is, if you're in a court, that's the law, period. It's the definition and limitation of powers. The people of this state, as the successor of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights that formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. The state cannot diminish the right of the people. No authority can, on any pretense whatsoever, be exercised over the citizen of this state, but such as is or shall be derived from the granted by the people of this state. A consequence of this prerogative is the legal ubiquity of the king via the king via the king's bench being we the people. The king is God, he's the king of the court, and we the people are the king's bench. We represent the king of the court, and we have to follow the law written on our heart. The Bible tells us the law is written on the hearts of men. You know you shouldn't be stealing. You know you shouldn't be killing. There's a lot of things. There's a whole list of things. It's all written in our hearts. It falls down to this. If you injure someone, you're now obligated to repair that injury. Okay? So, in order to have a case, there must be an injured party. It's that simple. And the people can see, yeah, this person's been injured. Okay? Or they haven't been injured. And, yeah, they've been injured by this person. You know, that's what the jury decides. That's your job. You need to do it. Okay. These are the things that they have to give you by law. They refuse to give you. They're out of office. You now remove them and you take their seats. Hopefully you'll have people who will take those seats at least temporarily and will push the county to run or the town to run an election to reseat these people. However, they're reseated. I don't know if they're appointed or if they're elected. Maybe Gerard might know when I'm finished. Maybe he might comment on that because he was involved with some local government before. But anyway, this is the things that they have to give you. Oath of office required under Article 6 of the Constitution, Clause 3. Official surety bond required under Title 31, USC, Subsection 225.1. Letter of appointment from, if applicable. A registration statement required under Title 22, USC, subsection 611 and 612. Delegated of authority affidavit, delegation of authority affidavit. Loyalty and security clearance under Title 22, USC, subsection 27.2b. Employee affidavit, if applicable. Economic statement of interest. They have to give you your economic statement. You are compelled to answer under 28 U.S.C. subsection 1361. Your failure, refuse, and or neglect to fully and timely comply will set for the record as ultimate facts that you have failed to comply to qualify for the office and therefore are acting without lawful authority, office, and or capacity as an officer, official, or agent for any original jurisdiction, non-corporate, governmental, state, or federal agency. It is presumed and or assumed that it is your sworn affirmed duty and fiduciary obligation to provide the above information in a timely and truthful manner. Please be aware of what the federal courts have held in U.S. versus Tweel. It says silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. If this does end up in court to take these people, you're going to go for fraud also. And that means they're going to have to pay a penalty because there's an injury to the people. And that injury to the people would go to the Committee of Safety for the purpose of the people. Because whatever the Committee of Safety is doing, eventually you need money, and that's why dues or passing the can around to pay for the incidentals. And the bigger you get, the more money you'll pull in. But a situation like this also would bring in more revenue for the Committee of Safety to operate under. Okay. Let me reread that again. Silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal or moral duty to speak or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. Should you meet this demand with silence, we the people will pursue enforcement in a court of record and remove the despots from the office held by our own authority protected under the Declaration of Independence along with charges of fraud and damages upon the people and their posterity. This administrative notice and demand is not intended to hinder, delay, obstruct, intimidate, or in any way threaten anyone, but is simply a means of invoking recipients' duties to act pursuant to the above quoted statutes, which apply to the recipient in the recipient's official capacity for lawful disclosure of vitally needed information. This demand is made consistent with the United States Supreme Court decision of Federal Crop Insurance Corporations versus Merrill, and the inherent mandatory duty of honest services by a public servant of the people. Should recipients not timely and fully comply in 10 days, it will be deemed by tacit proclamation your implied admission that you have failed to qualify for your office or employment pursuant to the principles of law embodied in the decision of Norton versus Lewis. Wherefore, the aforesaid elected or appointed officers is to mail the demand document to your County Committee of Safety, Dutchess County Committee of Safety being mine, at the address provided above within 10 days of being served as quo warranto. Respectfully submitted, this date 2024. You need the signature of the County Committee of Safety Chairman or the Secretary or the Co-Chair, someone on the upper end of the board. And then you need your seal on this. And that's what the sheriff hands out. Now, we're running kind of long on this. I think if we have Q&A going, we'll probably go past the 11 o'clock. But let's look at the memorandum of law. This is important to understand the power and the authority. This is a memorandum of law concerning writ quo warranto, 36 USC 302, national motto, In God We Trust, is the national motto. The purpose of this memorandum is to remind all public officials of their obligations to faithfully perform their duties under oath and with integrity by upholding the law of the land, also known as the common law or the natural law. Whereas their mandatory bond guarantee against the public officials' fraud or dishonesty and cover arising from neglect or omissions. The public official bond, a statutory obligation requiring faithful performance. A public official bond refers to an instrument by which the public officer and his secondary obligor undertake to pay to a fixed sum of money if the officer does not faithfully discharge the duties of his or her office. And remember, that's the second part that you pursue. Once you serve the paper, you're going to be pursuing the administrative process of pulling their oaths, their bonds, and we'll pull them all that together anyway, and then going after their bonds. Then, if necessary, bring it into the courts. Or you could do it the reverse, too. Okay. Pay a fixed amount of money if the officer does not faithfully discharge the duties of his or her office. The statutory public official's bond is thus a public official's bond mandated by statute. Black's Law Dictionary defines official bond as a bond given by a public officer conditioned on a faithful performance of the duties of office. In the three-party surety structure, the public official is the principal, the bonding company is the surety, sometimes called the secondary obligator, and the government, or in many cases the public, being served by the official, which would be the County Committee of Safety, is the obligee. Statutory bond requirements are found within the individual state codes. They are typically interdispersed throughout the code, although there is typically a public officials or public office chapter that has the general bond requirements and procedure as well as the authority for issuance of such bonds. The requirements for the various individual officials, however, are found within the specific chapter relating to their office. In general, bonds for public officials that are required by statute, hereafter official bonds, or public official bonds, are mandatory for all elected and most public officials. This can range from governor to a local school board member. Statutes may require an official bond for an individual public official, or may allow a blanket bond for a group of officials, such as the members of the board of directors. Depending on the statutory language, an official bond may be faithful performance bond, fiduciary bond, public employees blanket bond, or public employees dishonesty policy, while faithful performance bonds are by far the most common official bonds. The others may also be statutorily required. Statutory bonds by definition. Official bonds are required when a statute so dictates. Often the bond is required to be effective before or upon the taking of an oath of office by the employee or official. In other cases, an employee, an official bond may run indefinitely, covering each successive employee or official as they take office. The statutes would either mandate or authorize the procurement of a bond. If the controlling statutory language merely authorizes the issuance of a bond, that bond will only be statutory official bond to the extent the language of the bond reflects the requirements and intent of the statute. In Price versus Endell, a bond was procured by the governmental entity to protect itself from losses caused by employees' failure to perform his duties. Because the bond did not meet the criteria set forth in the authorizing statute, it was held to be non-statutory bond. Not subject to the provisions of the code affecting official bonds. The public official bond is commonly issued to protect against conduct or omission by the named public official that constitutes a breach of the public official's duties of office. These bonds guaranteed against more than the public official's fraud or dishonesty, and in certain cases can cover losses arising from neglect or omissions. A public official's bond may be issued for the benefit of the governmental unit in which the principal holds office, but also it can provide coverage to the general public. The bond is in nature of the indemnity bond rather than a penal or forfeited bond. It is in effect a contract between the officer and the government binding the officer to discharge his duties of his or her office. The official bond is not intended to protect the principal or the public official himself, but rather is intended to protect the city or the entire citizenship served by the official. The official bond indemnifies those who have suffered a loss as a result of official's misconduct, and in many cases the state statutes will include a provision specifically allowing a member of the public to bring suit against the bond. If that individual has suffered a loss resulting from the official's misconduct, to that end, while there is some varying degree of specificity in the statutory requirements, almost all satisfy the general purpose of requiring an official to issue a bond for a faithful performance of his or her duties. An official's bond is taken as insurance of compliance with the law. It is designed to ensure that the official or employee will faithfully perform his or her duties while in office. Professional conduct. A lawyer is a member of the legal profession, is a representative of clients, and an officer of the legal system with special responsibilities for the quality of justice. As an officer of the legal system, each lawyer has a duty to uphold the legal process, to demonstrate respect for the legal system, to seek improvement of the law, and to promote access to the legal system and the administration of justice. In addition, a lawyer should further the public's understanding of the confidence in the rule of law and the justice system, because in a constitutional republic, you have a duty to uphold justice even above the law. The relative autonomy of the legal profession carries with it special responsibilities of self-government. Every lawyer is responsible for observing the true rules of professional conduct established through reason. The rules of law must always be governed by morals, founded by common law, maxims, and guided by ethics. Oath of office. Article 6 of the Constitution states that other officials, including members of Congress, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. An officer within 30 days after the effective date of his appointed or election shall file with the oath of office required by Section 3331 of this title an affidavit that neither he nor anyone acting in his behalf has given, transferred, promised, or paid any consideration for or in the expectation or hope of receiving assistance in securing the appointment. 5 U.S.C. subsection 3331. Oath of office, an individual except a president, elected or appointed to the office of honor or profit in the civil service or uniform service, shall take the following oath. I, whoever, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution for the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. This section does not affect other oaths required by law. Sealed, you put the Committee of Safety seal, your County Committee of Safety in here, in my case, Dutchess County Committee of Safety, and this gets attached to the paper, the quo vanto. Okay, that pretty much brings us to the end. It's coming up on 11. Let's see how many people we have in the queue. We have a few people in the queue, but we will stick around for a while to try to get everybody who has a question. If anybody has a question, comment, or correction, and hopefully we can talk a little bit about what we're talking about, of course, tonight. Get into the queue. If you're on a phone, it's a *6 and a 1. If you're on an app or browser, there should be a button to get you in to the queue. Now, before we open the queue up, it'll be in a minute. Let me shut some of this stuff down. There was one other thing I wanted to cover before. This is real short. Okay, I kind of put together a list of demands, and this is nowhere near finished. And this is where we need the people's help, ideas, thoughts, to suggest something we can demand. Now, this is what I suggest we will demand. And again, each committee of safety has got to figure this out for themselves. You can use everything we're putting here. I think this is all logical stuff, and I think pretty powerful stuff, and certain things required. But again, and there's a lot more to be added to. So we need to discuss this and get ideas of what to add to this. But I threw together 7 different items that we're demanding of this particular school board. We're demanding the following. Stop all exposure and education that demoralizes our children. Example, homosexuality and woke, and et cetera. Anything else we can add to that. 2, remove all obscene books and materials from school libraries. 3, invite your sheriff to visit and address the entire school once a year. All the schools should come together in their auditorium once a year, and the sheriff should come and talk to the kids. Anyway. 4, at an appropriate age to be defined, we suggest age 16, and this is the way it was not too long ago, maybe 40, 50 years ago, maybe a little longer, of course, in different places, but at an appropriate age to be defined, suggested age 16, as part of our children's education, the county sheriff and the Rod and Gun Club is to provide instructions on the responsibility of and handling of firearms, both handguns and rifles. Parents may opt out their child. 5, at the age of 16, as part of our children's education, local driving school are to be provided for driving education. Each child should be able to handle a gun by the time they get out of school. They should be able to drive a vehicle by the time they get out of the school. After all, we don't need driver's license. That needs to be done away with. But nevertheless, we do need to know how to drive. We should teach our children how to drive. We should teach our children how to handle a weapon. Okay. Untainted civics, American history, and our founding documents are to be taught in school in all grades, different levels, first grade all the way up to graduation. At age 16, court access and the common law should be taught. I'm going to take the book I wrote, Court Access and the Common Law, and I'm going to create a textbook for school out of that. I'm probably going to do the same thing with government by consent. Maybe I can get some volunteers to help me on that, but in any event, we need to get an appropriate education. One of the things I wanted to add into this, and I think people should really think about, is our children should not be going to school with these cell phones. There's too much going on, too many problems. They're destroying each other, okay? I think children... Well, they should be monitored. If you're going to give your child a cell phone where they can go out on the internet and do all these things and talk to each other, because I'll tell you what, it's really abused. I watch some of these kids in my own family and, my nephews or whatever, and I see what's going on in school with these things and the conversations they're having, the things that they're sharing, a lot of inappropriate stuff. It's up to the parents to fix this problem. But definitely, they shouldn't be able to bring these phones to school. That should be a definite. But again, each committee of safety is going to make their own decision. They're free and independent. We can only suggest for what they should or might want to do. And I'm sure we'll get a lot of other people suggesting a lot of other things, and we'll add this to the list. Now, I'm going to post all these papers, and I'm going to post tonight's video of tonight's meeting I will post them, let's see, under today's issues, come down to NLA Monday Open Forum videos, and it'll be the video above last week's video right here, and then underneath that video, we'll be posting all of the papers that I shared tonight. There was three papers. And we need to really discuss in further details the things we might want to require of the school board. Okay. Now, eventually we'll start talking about town boards and, you know, city boards and county legislators, you know, how to approach them, maybe some of the ideas to bring up, the requirements, the problems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the things people should be discussing in your committees of safety. And by all means, you should be coming to the Monday night meetings as often as possible, or at least listening into our recordings, and share, and eventually share what you got with us. If we don't, you guys got something going that's good that we didn't add or we could add, you know, by all means, you've got to give us that information. We'll share it, and then other counties throughout the United States will also have the same information. The more information we have that we can share with each other, the more powerful we can become. We'd like to be as consistent and persistent as possible. And remember, there's one thing. Only the people can save this republic. It's about to be lost. It's about to be given back to you. But it's up to you to keep it. Okay, with that, we're going to go to our Q&A. We have someone in the queue. We'll take our first caller. Give us, let's see, next question. Give us your first name and your state. Elisa, it looks like. Is that right? I think I hit the button. Let's try doing it this way. You got the mic, Elisa? Or Isa? Not sure how to pronounce that name. Anyway, mic's open. Okay, I guess we lost that person. Let's take our next person. Marianne, you got the mic? Oh, Marianne got dropped also. Sorry. Maybe you can get back in the queue. There's only a couple people in the queue. And I see Elisa got back in the queue too. So let's try with Brady. Is it Sandra?
It's Alvin, but I'm using Sandra's phone. I'm a member, Alvin Vignere.
What state are you in?
Louisiana.
Okay, go ahead. Alvin from Louisiana? Is that your name, Alvin?
Alvin from Louisiana.
Okay, go right ahead.
Standard phone. Okay, so Louisiana law is Napoleonic code. And I thought when Louisiana entered into the federal state union, that they had to have a republic form of government.
That's correct. So by the Constitution.
Is that a treasonous act?
Is what?
Is that a treasonous act?
It absolutely is, okay? Once they entered into the union, you're right. They become part of the, they're under the Constitution, which is the law of the land. And it is the job of the federal government at every level, whether it be the, you know, administrative or legislative or the judicial, whichever one is being able to do something or is being approached to do something, to require that that state be under the law of the land. And so you're absolutely right. Look at anything written down by any legislature is not the law of the land. Now, that's the law to control them. All legislation is written for the purpose to control individuals who are working for different government agencies, whatever level that might be, and or commercial activities to control that. There's regulations, there's codes, there's statutes. But it's not written for we the people. We the people are free and independent. We're above all that law. We are the sovereigns. They cannot make a law to govern the sovereign. Only God can do that. So we're under the law of the land, and part of the law of the land is the law, which is the common law, and that's what governs the people. So the people are governed by the common law, but all government agencies are governed by we the people, by Constitution.
So Louisiana has been committing an act of treason for at least 158 plus years.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, there's been an act of treason going on. It goes all the way back to before we were even a nation. goes back to 1750, okay? And who, I'm not sure what even anything before that, but I know in 1750 is when the king sent over the bar attorneys in order to destroy our legal system. They had destroyed it in England or Britain, and now they wanted to destroy this situation here in the colonies. So the bar attorneys came here. Their purpose is to destroy our judicial process. Also, by the time we came through the process of becoming a nation, then there was the decree put out by the king and the pope, and there might have been others involved in that, but I know at least the king and the pope were, and there was a decree put out for letters of marque. They can take out our ships. It was like being an act of war. They were here to destroy our political process, our judicial process, and they did a hell of a job on that. They have indeed destroyed our political and judicial process and have taken it to our economic process and our educational process, everything. They've destroyed it all. And it's all done by the minions of the New World Order, which are bar attorneys. And most of them have no idea. They don't understand what they're really doing, the destruction that they're making.
Right.
I talk to attorneys, and they think that it was appropriate for the common law to be done away with. I mean, who are these people? Who could possibly break a covenant between we the people and God? Because that's what the Declaration is of Independence. It's a declaration to the entire world that we're under the law of God, and we're here, and we have government by consent, and we're the lawmakers. We're the sovereigns. Okay, what court? What judge? What legislator, what president, what anybody can break that? Nobody can break that. Only God can break that, actually. We can't even break that because that whole thing was set forth not only for ourselves, for our posterity. We are the posterity of our founding fathers, and people in the future are our posterity. We can't destroy this without their consent, and ultimately it's God's consent, because you'll never get everyone's consent, and you can't. But the bottom line is only God can break it. No man can do that. But lawyers seem to think they can, and it's done. Rule 2, federal Rule 2 abrogated the common law in America, and that went all the way down to the village courts, all state courts, county courts, city courts, village courts, all of them.
Okay, the Fifth Circuit, the Federal Fifth Circuit Court right here in New Orleans issued a permanent injunction against Texas. That ruling that the Supreme Court ruled that Texas could apprehend these illegals and send them back. So this was done on a Napoleonic law, this federal court in New Orleans, that Fifth Circuit Court, right?
Well, look, that's a problem that's going to be dealt with. If you listen to Trump, that's one of his first things he's going to do in office is send them all back. So that's going to happen. You got to remember, there's subversion not just in the United States of America as far as in our legislators and our senators and the entire federal government. I mean, it's been taken over by maniacs, by tyrants. But not just there. Every state has been taken over to some degree, some more than others. At least half the state governors are under the influence of the New World Order and their legislators, and a great deal of other, going all the way down to the cities and the towns. I mean, there's corruption all the way down. There's a lot of cleaning up to do, and it's going to happen. So we have less than a year. It's going to be done with.
How a federal court in New Orleans can overrule the Supreme Court? That's what I want to know.
Well, they can't. Even the New York courts think that they can overrule the Supreme Court because New York courts have thumbed their nose at the United States Supreme Court when they made the decree that the Second Amendment had to be a right of the people, and you can't make a law against it. And what did they do here in New York is immediately they went out and started to do legislation to go up against that. That's all going to fall apart. Anything that is repugnant to the Constitution is going to disappear. You know, we have formed the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. That National Liberty Alliance has worked together to form that. We've got a unified state common law grand jury in every state of the Union. They all came together, and we formed what's called, and that was done for the purpose of forming one unified United States common law grand jury. So we have all 50 states on board with that. We've written many papers, over 200 papers. We filed with the courts. We've shown through our paperwork that we filed with the courts that these people have a conspiracy going. They're all acting in the same way, doing the same thing to kick people out of the courts and denying them due process. And so we've already got all the evidence together. We've been working on this for quite a few years now. We've also got paperwork that's pretty much done, but it's still in the making because we're still kind of working a few things out. That as soon as devolution plays to a certain point, we're going to do filing in our court, federal courts, suing the federal judiciary, actually an indictment on the federal judiciary. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to couch this. But we need to take back the federal courts as a whole. Once we take the federal courts back, and we can do that once the common law is reestablished, and that's one of the first papers we're going to file. And obviously that's what needs to happen because there's too much corruption in the courts. A lot of these crooked judges, and we've indicted quite a few of them ourselves, those indictments will come to play out at some point in devolution, or as devolution is coming to an end, they'll start to play out. A lot of these people will be removed from office. A lot of these judges will be sued by so many people who have been abused and damaged by them. But we will bring back the law of the land in the federal courts. Once we bring it back in the federal courts, it's slam dunk to every state of the union because the federal courts now have a requirement under the Constitution to require that we have every state to protect every state with a Republican form of government, which is obedient to the agreement, which is the Constitution, between the states. And we can bring by force to open up courts of law and to get rid of all of these civil law courts, which is actually Babylonian law courts. They're the law of the city. And that's the problem we have.
Yeah. Well, I'm always listening on Monday night on Sandra Brady's telephone. That's my mother-in-law.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, well, let's call it. Yep. Go ahead. All right. Thanks a lot, Alvin. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, let's take our next caller, Alicia, I think it is, if I'm pronouncing that right. You got the mic. It looks like you got yourself muted. You need to unmute yourself.
Hello?
Yep, go right ahead. What's your first name? Who's talking? First name and state.
Marianne stepped away for 1 second.
Okay, Marianne.
She'll be back in a moment. You called on her before, and then she... her call got dropped. I don't know what happened, but she was there, started talking. But
all right.
She'll be here in a second. Sorry.
Okay. There's also another person in here, Elisa. Let me try to see if I can unmute that person. It looks like they're muted themselves. I don't know.
Hi. I'm right here.
Okay. Marianne?
Yes. I
just right ahead, Marianne. And what state were you from again?
Oh, I'm in Indiana.
Louisiana. Go right ahead.
I'm in Indiana.
Oh, Indiana. Okay.
Yes, I'm in Indiana, where our governor basically is a UN WEF puppet and speaks at Davos and is basically running. There's a code 28-6 and 5.28, which is basically how they're administratively managing local county and local governments. It is disgusting. Through economic development. And they have the economic development at the county level.
Are you talking about Agenda 21?
It's part of Agenda 21, but it's 2030, it's 2050, it's 2065.
Yeah, we all know that that's unlawful, and we're going to deal with that. And again, this is where the people have to deal with it in their own counties.
Exactly.
This is the purpose of the County Committee of Safety. The County Committee of Safety are the original committee men. They're the ones that are the deciders. It is the County Committee. Every one of our founding fathers was part of the County Committee of Safety. I mean, not the county, but the committees of safety within their own areas. And it was the County Committee of Safety who set forth the first Continental Congress. It was the County Committee of Safety that executed and set forth the second Continental Congress. It was the County Committee of Safety that formed a temporary government every year as we fought through the Revolutionary War. It was the County Committee of Safety who came together to debate the Federalist Papers, what we know as the Federalist Papers. They were debating the Constitution. We know them as the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. It was the County Committee of Safety who executed that document and started this whole process off. It was the County Committee of Safety, again, who wrote the Constitution, and like I said, through the Federalist Papers, which gives us the debates and putting together. But that document was written by we the people, which came together in power and authority under the committees of safety. This is the way the people need to take their nation back. This is the only way. There is no other way. This is our founding fathers have set forth the process, and we just have to pick it back up, learn it, and execute it ourselves. It was never intended that the committees of safety should shut down. As a matter of fact, they warped into the statutory committeemen, and they're governed and taken over, ultimately beginning through the minions of the New World Order, the lawyers who statutorized the whole process and got it going, and then the party bosses came in and they took control of the parties and they created the two opposing parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and we have nothing but a big mess. No parties, that's another thing that needs to go, because no republic can survive parties.
No.
Parties are destructive. George Washington spoke 2/3 of his farewell address addressing the problems of parties. They're not part of who we are. They don't belong in part of our process. They already got their marching orders. They know what powers and authorities they've been given. They know what their job is. It's written in the Constitution. You can't go beyond it. Be obedient, keep your oath, and that's it. There's no reason for them to debate whether we have a Second Amendment or not, whether we have a right of free speech and how they can control our speech, and on how they can control our schools, the education of our children to demoralize them. It goes on and on and on. They control our religious institutions. They control everything. We the people need to take it back. It's up to you to save this nation. Every person that hears this message and finds this information, it is incumbent upon you to do something to save this nation. It's our job for ourselves and our posterity. Our children are requiring it. They need to be at liberty, because if we don't do anything, they'll just be slaves.
Yeah, and they're trying to totally rewrite our history and everything. It's disgusting. I totally agree. Yep, and it has to be, all has to be changed.
Well, we have a reset coming. It's this year. It's called devolution. It's going to be given back to the people. You're going to be given back a republic. You can keep it, as Benjamin Franklin said.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, I agree.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Marianne. Okay, we have one other person here. It looks like they're unmuted. You got the mic. Is it Elisa?
Yeah, it's Elisa.
Elisa. Oh, what state you're from, Elisa?
Florida.
Florida. Okay, you got the mic. You got a question, comment, or a correction?
Yeah, I was watching the videos by Bill Thornton.
Bill Thornton.
And I'm real new at this. I'm about 2 weeks into this with you guys and trying to really learn. Bill, in one of his videos, briefly mentioned a book. That book is called, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, The Anti-Government Movement Guidebook.
I've heard of that, but I have not read it.
Well, I downloaded it and printed it today and just read the first few pages, and it's astounding. It's a book, kind of a secret book, I guess, and I'm a good researcher, so I found it. It wasn't easy. It looks like it's a secret book for the judges. And the title of the book, Anti-Government Movement Guidebook, we are the anti-government they're talking about.
Let me ask you a question. You said you downloaded this in a PDF form on the Internet?
Yes, sir.
Can you?
You want it?
Yeah. Can you send a link? That link to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and all of our national leadership will get a copy of that. And I'd like to look at that. So, mail, M-A-I-L.
You're gonna be astounded.
Okay.
Astounded.
I heard something about this, but I've never looked into it. I never read it, so I don't know. But it sounds interesting. Matter of fact,
trying to understand us, but from a perspective of us being the tyrants.
Yeah, we may be able to add that into our court case as we go after the federal judiciary, because we have to go after the federal judiciary. They have to be cleansed. That whole house has got to be cleansed. I don't think any of the judges are going to be able to survive what needs to be done. Maybe some will. I don't know, but we'll see.
I'll make sure you get it tonight. I'll get it out in the mail right away. Send it to Jan.
For your education, I'm sure you've heard me say this many times, under the blue tab, it says education starts here. Just highlight it and come down and start taking our courses. You know, we have a great foundation study. One of our members put this foundation study together, which is just a series of videos. And so there's no quizzes or anything in this particular study, but it's a nice foundational study, something to just watch videos to kind of set the stage and prepare you with a framework within your mind of the things that you're going to be looking at as you continue your education. But after that, we have an introduction to the Constitution course. So we call it Constitution Course 101.
Yeah, I did that one, and I'm doing the civics course now.
I know all about it. That's good. That's what people need.
I'm interested in finding out if that when you join as a member, could you do just a 1 year, you know, where you pay for the 1 year instead of the $5 a month, or do you have to do?
Yeah, some people do that. There is if you go to that donation tab there, and you'll see for anybody that wants to send a check or money order, they'll get there's an address there. And so you mail an address, mail it to that, and just put in a memo, in your memo, 1 year, $5 a month, so it'd be $60, and just to make sure it gets taken care of and you're ticked off so that your membership is set, just send an email to Jan at National Liberty Alliance, and he'll make sure that you're ticked off so that you can get into all the courses and so on. Now the $5 a month is for certain, you know, we ask people who are taking certain courses to, support NLA by that $5 a month. I mean, we really survive off of that. It's what keeps the lights on. We don't have any large contributors of money, and we're looking for that. We're looking for a couple of $1 million so we can go professional. It'd probably be about $1.5 million to cover payroll and set together all the things necessary to operate for at least a year and a half. And at that point in time, we'd be able to generate monies from another perspective. So, but we do need that seed money, but we haven't had anybody with deep pockets who has found us and realized that this is what they maybe should put their money into, you know, to support. So, but anyway, okay, I'm going to take the next call. Are we done? You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we done? Move to the next caller?
We're done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Next caller. Let's see. I wonder why that's doing. Someone fell out of the queue. You'll have to get back in. Robert, you got the mic.
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm out of Michigan. I just want to touch on the demands to the school board.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's overlooked. We're sending our kids to these schools, and they're being taught all these different things, and they're purposely not teaching the most crucial things to prepare us for having children, being married, and it's clear that it's putting out just chaotic human beings.
Absolutely.
I got in a situation where I got set up on a domestic violence charge. I took a plea because I was hoping that my daughter's mother wouldn't show up. She did. So I got an attorney. I set aside the plea. That all got taken care of, charges dismissed and everything. But the beautiful part of it was when I was on probation for the 4 months I was on, I was required to take a class, and this class is called Alternatives to Domestic Abuse. And the things that you learn in this class, they teach you the six types of abuse: threats, intimidation, physical, psychological, economic, restraining, and sexual. There's things that we do to abuse others, and abuse that we take from people, and we don't even understand that it's abuse. Now, when I'm walking out of this class, me and these guys were all agreeing, like, if I would have known this beforehand, my kid would be doing so much better. We don't realize that you got a little baby sitting there, and you're arguing, and you're just thinking, oh, it's no big deal, the kid don't understand. But the kid's absorbing all this energy and all these negative vibrations, and it's causing trauma to the mind to where they're not able to socialize right and receive information properly. If I would have known what I knew after taking this class before having my daughter, I probably wouldn't have had her with the person I had her with out of wedlock. I would have recognized signs of abuse with other relationships, and I would have recognized things I was doing to abuse others. I feel that this class, maybe with a different name, should be implemented into every K-12 and be basically a required class.
Well, that would have to be, first of all, each committee of safety, and there's 3,000 plus, or should be 3,000 plus, about 3,100 committees of safety. Each one of those committees of safety would have to discuss with the people on the grassroots level in the different school districts to discover what they want to do and how they want to control it, because this is up to the parents to a degree. I don't know that we can, you know, I think much more better than that. We did a paper, Ingalls versus, on a case called Ingalls versus, I forget who it was, but it was on the Bible in school. You know, we're a Christian nation. Our founding fathers were the children of God, not all of them, but most of them. They were devout Christians, particularly, you know, major founders, Madison, Washington, even Franklin, and many others, of course. But when they came together, it was said and agreed upon that only a morally minded people are capable of having a Republican form of government. A Republican form of government under the common law is a government under God. Okay, and the God that we know is the God of the Bible. And the Bible was the centerpiece from the very beginning. Matter of fact, one of the first acts of Congress, and George Washington signed it into the law, is the centerpiece of our education should be the Bible. And up until 1962, 63, somewhere in there, the early 60s, that's when they removed the Bible totally out of school. There was a movement that over the years, there was being moved slowly, little by little, and eventually they got the Supreme Court to rule that it had to be removed from the school. And that's unlawful. That was an unlawful decision by the United States Supreme Court. And so we wrote a paper concerning this and to bring this back into the schools. Now, it could be controversial to some people, especially we the people here in the United States have been so demoralized, okay, and so frightened and concerned with certain things that they shouldn't really be frightened of. But if we teach our children, you know, the Bible tells us, train up a child on how they should walk, and when they were older, they will not depart from that. Okay? If you're training them up correctly. So we need our schools to train up our children in a morally way. And they can use the Bible as a book in order to learn to read and right and so on, and also it's corrections and instructions in righteousness and in morality. So it's a great book to use. I would like to see that back into the schools. That's, I think, where we really have to go. You know, God said in the Bible, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. United, that's why we're blessed. And I think there's a lot of things going on in nature. I mean, we had earthquake here in New York. This is unheard of. I mean, my whole office shook. I never experienced anything like this in my life. We're on a rock, on the northeast of a rock, okay? So it's very rocky. And yet, you know, we had an earthquake, and it was pretty impressive just a couple of days ago. And then we have this, you know, of course, this, what do you call it, the eclipse that went across the United States here, particularly through the northeast. It came like an X across. We had one in 2017, interesting date when that happened, and one in 2024. Just now today we had that. And maybe that is God giving us a message. You know, we can't say this is biblical per se, but maybe it is God giving us a message saying, repent. You know, if my people who are called by my name shall, how does it go? Let me think. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. I think I paraphrased that a little bit, but it's generally what he said in the Bible. We're a Christian nation. We're under common law. The king of the court is Jesus Christ. People can deny it. It doesn't matter. That's the fact. That's who we are as a people. I don't want to give that up. The day we give that up is the day that we become Sodom and Gomorrah, because look where we're at right now. We're about at Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? And, you know, and people, I think, are turning and realizing and hopefully repenting. And we'll see what happens. But maybe it's a sign from God. Possible. After all, he controls everything anyway. He controls whether there's going to be an earthquake. He controls the eclipse and many, many other things. So, you know, judgment, founding fathers believed strongly that judgment is hit upon nations by calamities and wars and calamities. And that's God judging a nation, trying to warn them, straighten up, particularly us, because we are the only common law republic in the world, the second one ever. There's only been one other before us, and that goes back 1600 BC to Israel becoming a nation.
Right on, man. Yeah, I just kind of want to put that out there in the airwaves. Seems important to recognize things that they're purposely trying to keep out of the school.
Absolutely. And we did a paper on this, and matter of fact, I think we put this up here. Let me see. Underneath today's issues, come down to NLA Monday Open Forum videos. And as you come down, there is one here on the court case, Ingalls versus something. It's concerning the Bible in school. A case for the Bible in school. Here it is. Okay, and this is on the court case. Like I said, Ingalls versus someone. I forget what the other name is. Okay, and we read through the memorandum that we put together on that. We'll be going into the courts in as soon as devolution plays out, and returning back to the Bible, you know, back into the schools, It's going to take a little time, but we the people have to acknowledge the king of the court. You know, if we actually have a court of justice, our nation is only as just as our courts are. Just go to court and you'll see how unjust our nation is. We have been a problem of the world for a long time, and the people don't even realize it. We've been used and abused, and the people don't know. These people have seized control of the government. They've been going to war in the name of the people. They do all kinds of horrific things. They got the CIA creating democracies. The purpose of a democracy is to create an oligarchy. It's the first step towards an oligarchy. That's what democracies are for. Our founding fathers said they never saw a democracy that didn't self-murder itself. So, you know, we need to get educated on these things. We need to understand who we are as a people and where we're going. And if we don't have... If we don't have the common law as our lead, then we have man's law, because there's no other way. It's either God's law or man's law. Your choice. And how has that been working out for us? We're under man's law at least since 1938. At least. Probably, I know it goes back further than that, because actually they started deteriorating with our courts back in 1750 when we were colonies. And so a lot of our courts have been demoralized, and even long before 1948. But anyway, final word from you?
Yeah, that's what I was wanting to hear.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Okay, let's take our next caller, ROG. Can you give us your first name and your state?
Yeah, my name is Roger in Michigan.
How you doing, Roger?
I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you. A couple of real silly questions for you. Easy answers. Is that Supertramp you always start off with the music?
Well, not always. Sometimes I do Kansas, and there's a few other groups, sometimes Moody Blues. But Supertramp is the primary one because it really brings forth a good message.
Yes, it does.
But Kansas does, too. Kansas has a lot of great messages, you know?
I like it. Thank you. I'm online and on my phone, actually. And I only see I'm the only person that's not a host that's showing up online. Do you hide the other attendees that are online, or am I the only one that's online?
Well, no. There's lots of people online right now. The thing is if we open up the area where you can see all the people in, it also opens up a private messaging, and it sets off the texting. We don't want people texting while we're talking, trying to teach, trying to have conversation and communications. If you go to a lot of places and you see that the text is open, you see a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with what's going on in the conversation. So for that reason, we shut that off.
Okay. If you could possibly put a number of attendees up in the top corner, just a numerical prefix, that way it doesn't look like there's only five people here.
I can appreciate that, yeah. Well, right now, some people are jumping out already because we usually close down at 11. We got 40 people online, and we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 administrators online.
Okay. A couple of real quick questions. Are you working with Vicki Klein at all?
That's a familiar name. Who is she?
She's taking some actions in Arizona against the school board. Video went viral. I believe it went viral. Very popular, where she went and basically booted out the school board.
Oh, yeah. We heard. I know Gerard, he's a co-founder of National Liberty Alliance. I know he's been trying to make contact with her. I think he's had some communications. I don't know if he's still in the room right now, if he wants to talk about that. She learned a lot of stuff from us. She's working with a Quo Wanto, too. It'd be nice to try to work together with her and kind of pass that kind of stuff over to her control. We got a lot. We need help here, by the way. We need volunteers. We need people that'll work on a national level. More importantly, though, we need people working on their own committees of safety. But anybody that wants to volunteer to help us on a national level,
we're forming one in Macomb County, Michigan. We're about halfway there.
I'm sorry, say that again.
We are forming one in Macomb County, Michigan. We're better than halfway there. I think we got four board members.
Yeah, Michigan, I think, is a pretty active place. We have Sheriff Darr, who was with us a couple of weeks ago. He's out in Michigan. And we got a lot of active people out in Michigan really trying to get things going. We even have at least one, maybe a few people working on trying to organize all the counties in Michigan, trying to encourage them, people in other counties, to start committees of safety. Hopefully we'll get someone in every state doing the same thing to really push forward the committees of safety throughout their state, because there's power in numbers.
How many committees of safety do you have at the moment?
Let's see. Hang on a second. If you look on the right-hand side of our website, there's information. We have total membership. Well, let's see. Committees of safety, district leaders, militia, committeemen. Where is that, Committees of Safety? I know the list is up here somewheres. Oh, no, this can't be right. That's district leaders, no. Total coordinators, total. Oh, here it is. Total County Committee of Safety Organizers. We have 182 Committees of Safety in process.
There's 3,000 more to go.
Yeah, 3,000 more to go. But, you know, I remember when we started this thing, we had 20 people visiting us, and we had 20 or 30 members. Next thing, you know, and we just grew, and we have over 11,000 now. And
it's going to be huge if you can put your numbers up there, the people that are on this online thing. If you can compile that number, that's going to be huge for my purposes for promoting you, basically.
Well, are you looking at the desktop right now, my screen sharing?
Yep.
Okay, well, here, every county in America has been constituted. In other words, we have members who have visited and we started moving towards a process of creating the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, bringing back the common law, and we visited every county to
What I was referring to, not to cut you off, but if the Q&A session, I clicked on attendees,
mm-hmm.
and it's me and five hosts. That's not going to attract a lot of people.
I understand that. I'll see if I can do something about that. The problem with that is if we kick that back in, now we're going to get people talking in the background between themselves because they love to do the texting. They're off base for what we're trying, because we're trying to teach people here. The other thing that it does, okay, is it opens up the text chat. Now, I got to check to see if that's true or not, but if it opens up the text chat, that's another major problem, because once that happens, now you've got all kinds of chaos going on, and we're not learning, you know?
Yeah,
so, but I hear what you're saying.
During class.
I'm sorry, say that again?
No note passing during class.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a problem. I used to do things on Pal Talk many, many years back, and we had a large organization. We were teaching the Bible, and one of the things we did have open conversation, people texting. But once we started teaching, that was shut down. That was an ability that we had with Pal Talk. We used Pal Talk back in those days. This we're using right now is Start Meeting, which is a pretty good service. It's got pretty much everything we need. But I'll look forward to it. Huh?
I love it. There's been two times in my life I've enjoyed learning. One is during this course, Government by Consent, and the other time was when I did a year-long study of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So two times in my entire life, and I'm 65, that I actually enjoyed learning something.
Well, we do have a Bible study going on right now, Wednesday night Bible study at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you're interested in that. And it's recorded. I mean, you can... our Bible studies, let's see, let me get to that. Bible studies
I have two final items I wanted to bring up real quick and get out of the way for the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Also, where right before the earthquake hit New York, constructed the Statue of Liberty, she was hit by a lightning strike.
No kidding. When did that happen?
A day or two before the earthquake.
No kidding. Well, maybe God is trying to tell us something. Repent. You know, we got Nineveh in that X when you go. 2017 is when Trump became president. 2024, he's going to become president again. He's going to be elected president in 2024 again. And, judgment is being brought upon all of these wackos that have taken control of our country, our nation. And this is a worldwide movement, though. It's not just the United States.
Yeah,
far, far bigger than the United States.
Yeah, if you could post your numbers, membership numbers, that'd be incredibly powerful for...
Well, we have that on the right-hand side of our website on every page. If you scroll down, you'll see that we have a total members of 11,323. We have 1,266 grand jury administrators. We have total county committee of safety organizers, 182. We have state coordinators, 88. We have total...
Okay. I can find that later on the webpage. I have to waste everybody's time. That's my not paying attention. Last thing. Well, two weeks ago, you mentioned testing that, 100 years ago, our eighth graders were acing when they got out of school. And now that high school and college graduates can't pass it. Can you point me in the direction? That would be awesome to use at the school board meetings.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. And, the thing...
How can I get documentation on that?
On which?
I believe it was, you said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, where you said the testing that all of our middle school students were passing when they got out of middle school, eighth grade.
Oh, yeah, it was an eighth grade test. We have that copy of that up on our website. I believe that is under Starter Committee of Safety. Come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. I think it's on that page. we have, yes, the eighth grade test of 1895. And college students can't even pass this test, so it seems. But college students coming out of this school.
I'd love to have that and slap a couple school board members right in the face with it.
Well, you can download it right off our website. Everything's downloadable. It's a PDF.
That's
and,
what I was looking for.
A proper education, that's the other thing is, you know, look at, we the people are the, you know, we are the lawmakers. We are the sovereigns. We are the deciders. We can tell the school boards, hey, we want to get a list of all of the teachers. We want to look at their backgrounds as far as their education is concerned. I'm sure we got a lot of bad teachers that we can get rid of. We know we got a lot of bad teachers we can get rid of. And we need to get involved in this. We can do this. People have the power to do this. People don't understand. They want you to think that the only thing you could do is vote. That's what they want you to think. That's not liberty. That's not government by consent. That's nothing. It means nothing. Government by consent is we put you into office, we can take you out of office. We're going to tell you how you're going to run things, and this is what you're going to do. This is what we want for our children in this particular school district. This is what we over here in this particular people want in this particular school district. People need to get active and take their country back.
Amen.
We can save it. It's up to us.
Who should I email when I'm asking something I can't find? What email should I use?
You could send it to a mail or questions.
Okay.
Questions could be a good one to do. Questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. That's plural. Or you can send it to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
Service.
Okay, let's take our next caller here. 586 area code, wireless caller. Give us your first name and your state.
Yo, that might be me. Let me hang up.
I'm sorry. Oh, that was you again? Okay. All right, I think we got everybody. Robert, did we get you, Robert, from Michigan? I think we spoke, didn't we? Robert from Michigan? All right, I guess we got everybody then.
Sorry, I was my phone was on mute. Yeah, we spoke. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let me end Q&A. All right, well, we'll be back next Monday. So appreciate it, and we'll see you then. Have a good night.
Nice to be here.